Warning, this show features some violence, strong language, and explicit adult content. We all enjoy fantasy stories we wouldn't want to live through ourselves. Whether that be traversing treacherous lands of thirst, caught in battle between two barbaric nations, or lost in the woods with a killer, our show is a safe space to indulge in sexual fantasies. The events are entirely fictional, featuring themes that blur the lines of consent. We understand that such content may not be suitable for all audiences, and encourage you to exercise discretion, dear listener, and approach our content with an open mind as we handle it as ethically as we can. For information and trigger warnings, please visit yukiassassin.com/content advisory. Now, with that out of the way, we hope you enjoy The Desert Rose. Desert Rose, Part 1, The Red Door.
You girl.
Oh, hello, Captain.
Want a drink? It's not water, of course. It's just a little something for the spirit.
Oh no, thank you.
I respect your need for discretion. You paid well for it. But you haven't escaped the notice of my men. The presence of a woman, well, they're just drawn to it, you know. So, what's a highborn girl from the Kingdom of Annandale doing traveling all by yourself to Atlantis?
Why had I come? Because 4 days ago, I had a father whom I loved. A throne destined to be mine. A home. Servants whom I could trust. And with the fall of a dagger's edge, it was all taken. And my uncle stood in father's place with the notion to marry me. Me. His niece.
My dearest niece. I've always said it, but you are the spitting image of your mother. Her same curly brunette hair and brown doe eyes, soft little nose, and such luscious curves. That and younger and twice as beautiful. I will make you mine, and mine only. Not even my damnable brother can keep us apart anymore.
Girl?
I don't know, I'm just seeking a new life is all.
Oh, that you'll find. You'll find that indeed.
Let go of me! Hand me! I paid you for passage!
For a girl with that much gold to spare, makes a man wonder what else you got under those robes. Ortho! Her jewelry, now!
Captain, I beg of you.
Keep still or lose a finger. Well, by the prophets, looks like we have in our hands a fortune. Let's see what other treasures is hiding beneath those robes.
No! No!
Didn't think the girl had it in her.
Should we search for her on shore?
She's a princess of nothing now. We took everything. Well, almost.
I trudged over the sand of a nearby shore for a night and a day. My robe lifted over my head to keep the punishing rays of the sun away from my sensitive skin. With a great thirst and hunger in me, I knew that even if I made it to wherever lay ahead, I was nothing without my riches. princess with only torn silks to her meaningless name. But a princess survives. I came upon one of the salt cities, Oris. Nothing like my home of Anadol. A great trader's port filled with every kind of person there ever was. Man, woman, and people who are not quite either. And all looked down at me with the same eyes. They could smell that I didn't belong. And I had nothing. Nowhere I could go, nowhere that would take me. Except, well, I was no fool. I knew what some of these places were like. The kinds of girls they look for. What they have me do.
Yes, do you know somewhere hiring girls like me to serve drink and food to patrons?
Yes. There is a place that will take you, girl. A door always open to the poor, the pathetic, and pretty. Come with me, eh? Come with Gortho.
The goblin led me to one of the largest taverns in the city. Its wood was dark, its doors and windows outpoured with rose-tinted light. Inside, sprawled with seats and tables, loud and boisterous men seated enjoying their drinks. And weaving between the tables were astonishing women. They served drinks, danced, sat among the many pillows and sheets, leading men by the hand to curtained off privacy, while they wore scarcely more than translucent silken jewelry.
You told me you were taking me somewhere where I would serve drinks and meals.
Oh, the girls will do that too.
And through the bodies, I'm led up a wooden flight of stairs. A quieter row, guided toward a great armchair that overlooked this kingdom of debauchery. The master of this establishment, a woman, knelt at his feet, whispering in a tongue I didn't recognize to the man that sat.
Biar, Gorthala Samai. Oakuak the Mahifatha Ladelith. And so on.
I couldn't help but take a step backward, in shock and awe of the woman before the armchair. Her hair, short and silver, her skin, smooth and tawny, clad in finery that accentuates, not hides, her curves. The top of her great breasts showing in their entirety, her midriff and pierced belly, ample legs and the way they crossed one another as she walked towards me.
Madame Shauna.
Ruby, please, show Gortho to a room. Treat him as though the Salt Emperor himself has come to our humble grotto.
Yes! Now bow to your majesty.
And who might you be?
This concubine, this whore, ran a hand through my hair. The other down my clothed frame. For a moment, she stole my breath. But when I found it, I'm in the wrong place.
Are you frightened?
She laid a gentle hand on my shoulder, her finger running in small circles where it touched. Her eyes were peaceful, smiling almost. And in that moment, I can't say I'm frightened. I am not.
No, then come. Sit. You must be thirsty and hungry.
My heart rose to my throat as I am led to see the master in the armchair. To my shock, I found a great orcish man. I had heard legends of orcs. Mighty barbarians, strong and animalistic. This one was an old man. A shiny green head with white hairs on his chin and chest. Both large and decrepit at once, with skin that hung from his arms, and a round belly beneath his sunken chest in his open violet robe. I sat before him in a cushioned seat before his table, the whore standing at his side, a soft hands brushing over his great shoulders. Her pillowed lips lay a kiss upon one of his many rings as she knelt at his feet.
Master Mazur.
So, Gordos brought me a gift.
It felt good to be near a hot fire again, out of the horrid city streets. But I was burning up from more than the hearth as my cheeks flushed red before this half-clothed man and this woman. Looking any place on her ample form brings me to blush. I would look into her eyes, and yet they make me blush as well. I'm ashamed. Ashamed to look at this woman and not to. I'm not even sure it's the natural heat of this land, or if us Westerners simply have more modesty.
She's nervous.
They all are on their first day. But there's something more.
I feel his eyes on me. My brown hair, my torn dress. Fine silks imported from Narage, torn and ripped. I just need the work, desperately, sir.
She is on the run.
All our girls are on the run from one thing or another?
No. She invites danger to my brothel. I cannot have it.
Sir, no one is looking for me. No one knows I'm here.
Men talk.
Then make her your slave. She will be your property by law, protected by the Spice Lords for a contract of 5 years. At least see her first.
Come closer, girl.
I have never been unclothed before a man, before anyone. Only before servants who were all girls. But not before men like Mazur. Not before a woman almost as equally naked as I would be. I feel his eyes so close to mine. Exploring my form, his dry, elderly hands running down my frame. My cheeks flush all the more as he does. I had thought the first man to see me would be more loving, but he inspects me as though I were cattle, his eyes cynical and hungry.
Too skinny.
Some men like a skinny, a small. A beautiful little thing they can hold and protect in their great big arms.
You've never been with a man, have you?
No, I've seen the way most look at me. Have heard the gossip of servants sent to bedchambers. I know that they can be cruel.
I will not have you here serving drinks, girl. You are to be a whore in service to me. Desires of men come in many varieties. Their fantasies, their needs, they can be sweet, or they can be cruel. But I will have you service them all with a smile and enthusiasm, or I will not have you at all.
I didn't come here to be property.
You need not trouble yourself, Master. We will adjust her appearance and heart for you.
Do not waste your time. See her out.
3 days, Master. Just 3 days. In 3 days, I will see that she puts stars in your eyes. I've trained with all of our girls. Have I ever failed you?
Not yet.
Come. Come with me.
I hadn't realized how stiff I was, or how I held my breath until I was ushered into the beaded room. Some privacy granted at last. I felt my entire body ready to crumble.
Forgive him, sweetling. Master Mazur only collects and deals. He is concerned with little else. He is not as skilled as I am with welcoming new sisters. I am a shaman.
Her gentle touch slowly worked away the tension I had been building. So soothing, a gentleness that it was only when the pale-haired woman stood behind me did my mind finally return to the present. I shouldn't be here. I didn't mean for this. I'm not a...
A whore? You can say it, dear.
Yes. A whore.
Why so derisive?
whores are unclean. It's work for the lowest of women. The desperate, the unmarried, ungodly.
In the West, maybe. In the Northern Realms, they call us prostitutes. In the East Cliff Kingdoms, concubines. Our purpose is the same. I know what notions you bring from the West. But here? Oh, there's a little bit of all cultures here. But none of the Ashem. Here, there is prosperity. Gold. Work. Culture. Secrets. Second chances.
She stands before the beaded entryway, parting the curtains for me to see the floor of the brothel with clarity.
That is Parvus, a prince of the Wood Elves of Midloth. He loved fighting, fucking, and spending his father's gold. But got himself into debt with the wrong men, and into their wives' beds, too. Exiled, he finds what work he can, using his knives and his silver tongue to solve problems for a price. And sometimes, to create new problems for free.
And to what awful father do I have to thank for this fine ass before me today?
Huh? Oh, my father was a priest.
Oh, that's bad, huh? I thought bad, but not that bad.
And so there I was. The smiling mountain himself had dragged his blade red across my chest. But before he could finish giving me my trophy, his head lay limp from having squeezed his neck broken.
That is Karos, a mighty legend in the Colosseum like his father, to whom he owes only his orcish blood. He basks in glory and adoration, but few can quench the terrible need, even as one of our finest girls strokes his great chest. That need for a father and a mother's love. The half-breed is Carrion, a warrior from Najarandor.
Aren't fighters from Najarandor, are they not, you know, without their...
Come now. Not all men here come to get their muscles tickled. He was taken from his mother's breast and trained for one purpose. To fight and die for his vile masters. And without a master, he just keeps fighting, finding new masters with the gold for it. And with that gold, he comes here, seeking the womanly love he was denied. Sometimes, he sleeps in my arms. Nothing more. There is beauty in every soul, Rose. The kind, the cruel, the desperate. All have a need that we must fulfill, my sister. A fantasy. A bid for control. Sometimes a regret. You must be the woman their soul and body needs. Understand now?
I looked in one of the many mirrors that decorated this place. I've seen that nervous girl before. In wide red dresses, surcoats, gowns. Her lady had forced upon her one tailor at a time. But this girl, oh, she displayed her youthful body without shame. Her breasts hidden behind light translucent silk. Her legs wrapped in brocade fabrics. And the girl looked fine in it.
I don't know if I can understand, Shanna. But for the first time since I've come here, I think I'm willing to.
Then perhaps you understand more than you know. Now.
Behind my reflection, I can see her silks and brassiere fall, leaving Shanna only in her silver bracelets, her choker, and full breasts tipped with round and pink perfection pierced in gold. Ah, and her curves are full and so inviting. Her whole being looked warm and inviting. Even as a woman, I think this.
Shall we train?
Thank you for listening. The Desert Rose was created by Sadistic Dreamer, starring Ify the Dark Elf, Kit Nevada, and McNorsk VA. Full cast and podcast description. follow Sadistic Dreamer Patreon for more audios. Sign up for the $2 tier, and you will get your exclusive content, such as bonus episodes and exclusive series. Follow us on Twitter at YukiSpaceAss. We hope you've enjoyed the tale. Sweet dreams.